Father, thank you that we can gather as a community today and just share from your word, Lord. And I just ask that today that you speak to us and fill us with the Holy Spirit and just energize us for today. And pray that you use me just as a tool, just to bring your word alive today and hear what you have to say to us. And pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you want to read with me, I'll be reading from Matthew 26, verse 30. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away from me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All of the disciples said the same thing too. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch for me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." And while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders, of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately Jesus went to Judas and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and then he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?" And at that time, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would a robber? Every day I used to sit at the temple teaching you, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus, so they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.' The high priest stood up and said to him, 'Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, 'I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his robes and said, 'He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' They answered, 'He deserves death.' Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, 'Prophesy it to us, Christ, who is the one who hit you?' Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, 'You too were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are talking about.' When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again, he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, 'Before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly." I'm just going to read the devotion from the One app. Jesus is fully God and fully man. On the eve of his crucifixion, he experienced significant turmoil. So he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked his disciples to pray for him as well. Through prayer, he found strength to obey the Father's will. Even when his disciples attempted to rescue him, he did not run away, and he taught them to not respond to their enemies with violence. Often we know what God's will is, but we are tempted to escape from it or even use God's name to justify what is wrong. What God allows is always for our good. We can only see what is in front of us, but God sees our whole life. If we obey like Jesus did, we can be assured of God's blessing. So I'll just be sharing a little from this passage. As you can see, there's quite a lot that is happening in this passage. We have Jesus betraying Judas. We have Peter cutting off the servant's ear. We have the people who were listening to Jesus in the temple turning on him. We had disciples falling asleep. We had Jesus agonizing over what was to come, but ultimately obeying. And then we had Peter denying Jesus 3 times. So today I just want to focus on the last one, Peter's denial of Jesus, and in particular, Peter. So just to introduce, I guess Peter, it says here in one of the commentaries I read that Peter is one of the scripture's most endearing characters. There's just something dynamic about his personality. It's so easy to identify with him because he's so utterly human. We see him opening his mouth at inappropriate times and saying outlandish things. One minute you'll find him promising undying devotion to Jesus, and the next he's standing in the courtyard swearing he's never even heard of him. Peter is every single one of us. Despite being overzealous and impulsive, Peter has a big heart, and that's probably what makes Jesus pull Peter into his inner circle. So Peter, he was a fisherman. From some of the scriptures, we find that he has an accent, or maybe he didn't speak so eloquently. He's got strong values. He was a charismatic leader of the disciples. He was impulsive. We can see that in the chapter by him quickly responding to Jesus, "No, it wouldn't be me," and chopping the ear off of the high priest's slave. He was courageous in his faith, but ultimately he denied Jesus at a crucial time. He was a missionary, and later he died a martyr. But we can see that Peter was reprimanded quite a bit. And this isn't in the passage of scripture, but in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus is talking about building his church upon a rock, and he likens Peter's name, which means rock. So I'll just read to you that scripture quickly, 16, verse 18. "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So here Jesus was praising Peter because Peter understood what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about he was the rock that would build the church. And then Jesus went on to say, to tell the disciples about what was in store for him. Him going back to Jerusalem, being persecuted, accused, crucified, and then dying. And then Peter said, "Lord, this shall never happen to you." And then Peter gets reprimanded. In 16 verse 23, Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." So I imagine Peter went from a place of feeling pretty good about being complimented by Jesus, but then he said the wrong thing. The next part where I guess Peter messed up is when he and the disciples fell asleep. And in verse 40 of the passage we read, it says, "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So you men could not watch with me for 1 hour?' And ultimately Jesus leaves them and lets them sleep. And the next part in verse 51 is when Peter cuts off the servant's ear. "And behold, one of those who were with Jesus and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear." So in this passage, it doesn't say that it's Peter, but in John 18:10, we find out that it was Peter. Then, so it says, "Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear." And also, it doesn't say this in Matthew, but in Luke 22, verse 51, Jesus actually healed the servant's ear, it says. "But Jesus answered and said, 'Stop, no more of this.' And he touched the ear and healed him." So I think that's pretty amazing that even while Jesus was being accused, he healed someone. And then the last thing was Peter denying Jesus 3 times. I won't read the scriptures out again because I think we remember that it was two different servant girls that said to him, they recognized him and he denied, and then a crowd and he denied and he swore an oath. And in some of the commentaries, it says that that oath, he was effectively saying, "God kill me if I'm lying," an oath like that, or what we might say, "I swear to God." So in the last verse, it says, the rooster crowed and he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you imagine how Peter felt then when he had professed his undying devotion to Jesus and then he let him down at the most crucial time? And Jesus seeing him on that cross, what guilt he would have felt, and how he'd failed Jesus. And for me, I was thinking when I was preparing for this EMP, I thought about, you know, how often I fail God. And even a couple of mornings ago when I was just thinking of things that had happened that morning that I'd let God down. You know, I might not have said to God, I don't believe in you, or denied him publicly, but my actions, reflecting on them, I let God down. You know, and some of the things I reflected on was, you know, negativity and complaining. Like right now I'm on school holiday, I'm a teacher, and, you know, ultimately I was supposed to have an overseas holiday, which I was looking forward to now, but I'm not able to with this virus. And I guess, yeah, that was one thing. And then pride, I guess thinking I'm better than other people. And even I think there's a sense of pride with taking EMP, and there's a sense that, oh, I want to impress people. Putting people down, you know, spending more time on Netflix than with God. Complaining about fasting, all these things. And there's other sins too. And we let God down so many times. But my takeaways from this passage was that God rebuked Peter because he loved him and he had a purpose for him. So God restores us and he forgives us and he uses us, imperfect humans, to serve him. And we all have moments of failure, but that doesn't mean there's no way back. And Jesus is continually at work in our lives to redeem, restore us. Later after the resurrection, Jesus met with the disciples and they were fishing, and he ended up having breakfast with them. And here's a moment where he restored Peter. This is in John 21, verse 15-17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked for the third time, "Do you love me?" "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." A devotional I read said, made this point. It said that notice that Jesus asked if Peter loves him once for every time that Peter denied knowing him. When Peter responds that he does not love the Lord, Jesus encourages him to care for his sheep. In a tender and heartfelt way, Jesus is telling Peter that his failure hasn't disqualified him from his role as Christ's trusted ally. So God is so forgiving and loving to us, and we're like Peter. While we might have good intentions, often we let God down, but he always restores us. Not only does he restore us, he forgives us and he forgets. In Psalm 103, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." How amazing that we'll go to judgment and we'll be clean. We don't even have those sins on us. And what a loving God doesn't want us to be bogged down with guilt. And after we've confessed to him, he doesn't condemn us, and he uses us for his glory. And Romans 8:1 it says, "Therefore there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit is life, and Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." So the story of Peter, and there's other things that you'll know in the scripture about Peter, but It just showed me how much God loves us and loved Peter. And Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Jesus wasn't after a short, superficial answer, yes, I love you. But he was calling Peter to action and using Peter by saying, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." So before we go into worship, maybe you can let Jesus ask you, "Do you love me?" And maybe just at this significant time, you know, Easter time, and this time where the world's going crazy with this virus, Jesus is calling us to action and asking us, "Do you love me? Have you been caring for his sheep? Have you been caring for people? Have you been loving on people during this time?" That's one thing that I've been reflecting on. So, I'll just ask Matthew if you can get ready for worship. But during this time of worship, maybe we can use this time just to keep short accounts with God and get things in our life right with God, and also let's not miss this opportunity like Peter did in the most significant time of his life, of Jesus' life, when he died, he made that sacrifice for us. Peter just left, you know. This is a crucial time for us during this virus, and you know, what are we doing? Are we going to sink to the back of the crowd, or are we gonna do something about it? Are we gonna care for his sheep? So I'll just leave that to you. Worship together.
Amazing love, but I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Now I'm accepted, you were condemned. Now I'm alive, the Spirit is within me, because you died for me. It's amazing how can it be that you, my King, will die for me. Amazing God, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. In all I do, I honor you. Let's just declare that he's our King this morning. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King. You are my King, Jesus. You. You're amazing. amazing God, and I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Read the prayer from the One app. Dear Heavenly Father, when we suffer, we tend to doubt your will and goodness and question, why me? I believe that what you allow is best for me. So please change my heart to obey your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now we're going to move to a time of community prayer. So we'll just get to those slides. So let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from cancer. Let's pray for pray for God's healing, and also that he'll use this to draw people closer to him. So let's pray for those in our community with cancer right now. And let's pray for those who are undergoing chemotherapy, radiation therapy, or surgery. Let's pray for those who are experiencing illness and also need salvation. Let's pray for healing during this time, and that God will use this situation to bring about salvation. let's pray for those in our church, in our community, that are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray that that Jesus died to bring about healing and just restore us. And let's just pray for those that they just might receive a touch this Easter, or even now, that God will restore our bodies to be new. Let's pray for them. And during this difficult economic time, let's pray for those that are struggling to find jobs. Let's pray that, yeah, we trust you, Lord, that you have the best intentions for everyone. You have a plan for everyone. And let's pray for these four brothers on this list that you'll bring about a job for them. Okay, and now the daily prayers. So we have a mission focus of SPSG, SPIN, SPIL, SP New York. Let's pray for those church plants and pray for the leadership there, that God will be with these communities during this difficult time worldwide. Let's pray for the education at SP, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. During this time where they can't meet, let's pray that for unity, for encouragement, and for new ways to connect with each other. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, The Well, and River. Let's pray for the teams that are in that ministry and their leaders, Matt and Rachel. Let's pray for the evening outreach, SP Lights and Homies. Let's pray that the team will remain together and remain focused on the vision that you've given them, and that they'll still be able to make connections with those that they're ministering to during this time. Let's pray for East Bay House Church, Olympic House Church, Robin Hood, and Westville House Church is on a break, but let's bring those four house churches forward and pray for them. And let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray against the fear that is gripping the city. Let's pray against this virus. Let's pray for those who are struggling with loss of jobs. Those that have got the virus, let's pray for healing. Let's pray for our leaders, Carrie Lam. I'll just close us in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness to us, your faithfulness to us, and how that you just keep restoring us and keep building us up despite how many times we let you down. And I pray that today you'll set us off like you did with Peter, and to go out into the world, into our communities, and see the people we see every day, but just be a light, Lord, and just really shine for you today. I pray that you just fill us with your Holy Spirit and connect our spirits with the Holy Spirit, that we might do your will, Lord. So be with us today, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time of Easter where Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And we just pray for the services this weekend, that it might be a time that we can minister to other people and invite other people, and they'd be really touched by what you've done. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.